So glad to be with you this morning. We're in the fourth part of this series, this oddly biblical titled Bobbleheaded Jesus. If you've missed any of the messages, or if you've ever read the Bible, you've like, I'm pretty sure I didn't see bobblehead in there. Trust me, I studied Greek, so it's okay. Seriously, you need to go back and watch or listen online to the series that have led up to this, because these all build on each other. But here's what we're ultimately talking about, that when you look at Jesus and when you look at the New Testament, writers, one of the things that they describe is that we are designed to be connected. We're not designed to be individual or isolated or alone. We're designed to be connected. I know for you introverts, you don't like that, but it's just the way it is. God has created this way. In fact, the Apostle Paul in our foundational text refers to us as a body. As a body, and that each of us brings something vital to the health, the development, the strength, the productivity of that body. And if one part suffers, or if one part isn't functioning as it should, we all suffer. We all pay the price. The whole body suffers. But as each part does its work, we individually and collectively, we grow. We grow strong. And that's important, because the head of the body, if you're a follower of Jesus, the head of that body is Jesus. And we don't want to be individually or collectively some kind of weak, anemic body, which is where we get the idea that, you know, Jesus is that mature head, but what does the body reflect when it's attached to the head? And this is why this matters to you. Because if as a man, or if as a woman, or as us collectively, if we grow strong and mature individually and collectively, what that means is when these rogue waves are going to come our way eventually, these winds, these storms in life that come inevitably, that when they come, we're going to be able to withstand it. We're going to be able to strong enough to be able to overcome it. And anything we face, we'll be able to stand strong. And this is important. If we're strong, and if we're growing and mature, and if we're connected, as many of us have personally experienced, God is able to do bigger and better and more important things through us as we're growing in maturity, and we're growing in our connectedness and our maturity together. And when people tell their story, they tell a story about a faith journey and about their faith becoming strong or powerful or effective or life-transforming. There are five things that consistently show up in these stories. And so this whole series is around these five things. And the reason we're doing this series is because of what drives me and what weighs on me every day is this passion and this longing and this just irresistible desire to help each and every one that I can become a fully devoted follower of Jesus and experience what Jesus said he came for, that he came that you might have life, that you might have it abundantly, that you might have it in the full. And so we have been going through this series because I want you to be prepared for that, and that you can be able to handle anything that life might throw your way. And whether you know it or not, these five things shape everything that we actually do as a church community. Two of the things that we've already talked about that shape us, things that grow our faith, are practical biblical teaching and private discipline. So the first 2 weeks we talked, or the second 2 weeks we talked about those things. And then the third thing, providential relationships, that's what we're going to talk about today. And the reason that we're giving time to this is because faith, confidence, trust in God is the key, faith, confidence, and trust is key to any strong relationship, whether that's a relationship with someone else, a family member, a spouse, a work relationship, that between two people, that these things exist. And as our confidence in God grows stronger, more and more we make life and relational choices based on that trust. And as we make those choices, those decisions impact and influence every other aspect of our relationship with other people, in our career, with the people in our neighborhood, the people we come in contact with, and just in our own individual life. So God wants you and I to grow big, hairy, audacious faith. And if you ask the question, well, how does God do that? Nearly everything falls into one of these five categories. So that's why we're talking about these things in this series. So today, I want to talk about providential relationships. And to kind of get us started, just as a heads up, so the introverts don't panic, I'm not going to make you talk to each other. But what I want you to do is I want you to think in your mind, I want you to think of a name of someone that you feel like God used in a relationship with you to make your faith stronger or bigger. Okay, so somebody in your life that God used in relationship, and I'd rather it not be a family member, but if it's only family members, that's okay if that's your story. But looking back on your life, who is it God brought into your path that somehow as a result of that relationship or maybe a conversation you had with them or watching his or her life as a result, you feel like that person helped your faith in God, your relationship with God, take a step forward or move further. Or for those of you, a second question, for some of you, you might say, you know, I'm still just kind of exploring. I'm still a little unsure about God. I'm not sure exactly what I believe. So if that would describe you, here's how I would word the question for you. Who in your life has caused you to have more interest in faith? Or maybe has caused you to reconsider faith or give God another chance. So two different questions, two different groups, and you don't have to identify who you are, but I want you to think of that person that somehow has either moved you forward, moved you towards. And so if you've got a name in your head, I just want you to raise your hand. Just raise your hand if you can think of somebody. Okay, so look around. All right, so a lot of hands up. Okay, so you can put your hands down. So the bottom line is, God uses relationship to move us forward. He uses human relationship with other people to move us forward. For me, you know, I could sit down and I think of so many people in small and big ways that intersected in my life and moved me forward. One of the first names is a guy named Maurice. This was a guy. He was a little bit crazy. We worked at a steel mezzanine factory before I went into the military. He was a welder, and for whatever reason, this guy like he was old enough to be my dad, and he got like a bullseye on me. And like he would come and seek me out, and he'd say when the whistle blew, "Hey, let's go have lunch together." And I started doing that, and he's just one of those guys that, man, he had no filter. You know, if he was talking about Jesus and his faith in Jesus and talking about some of the decisions that I was making on a Friday and Saturday night and the life I was living and trying to call me up. And so I would have lunch with this guy, and there was part of me on the one hand, like, I really love spending time with him. And then there were other days, like, I'm just going to hide somewhere in the factory. I don't want to be with Maurice for lunch, you know, but he would find me. Like, so he would come and find me, like, all right, Pickering, let's go. And we would go sit, and he would just talk to me and talk about his faith, and really he was trying to challenge me to something bigger and something better. And at the time, sometimes it was awkward and uncomfortable, but when I look back, I just realized he played a key role in helping me move forward in my faith. Or I think of a guy named John Bertefay. He was a young adult pastor in San Diego where my wife and I met, and for whatever reason, he took an interest in me and invited me to come in, and Sean, and when we were engaged, to just kind of be a part of their family, and we babysat their kids and we were involved in their life. And then he was crazy enough, he actually gave me opportunities to speak and to teach in front of the college and career group, about 90 people, and he gave me these opportunities, and he would just talk to me about life and faith. And then I think about Mark Scott. He was a guy that I connected with in Bible college when I ended up going to Bible college and seminary. He was one of my first professors. And for whatever reason, I just connected with him. And he connected with me, though we were very different. Like, I was really rough around the edges. He was very neat and tidy. But man, when he taught, like, I just was captivated. And he would invite me to come to his office and talk and invested his life in me. In fact, he had such an impact in my life. His name was Mark Scott, and our second son's name is Jacob Scott Pickering, because he had such an impact in my life. And I look back on these relationships of people that I feel like God intersected their life with mine at like just the right time at this crucial moment, and that moved me forward. They shaped me. They shaped me on how I viewed relationship. They shaped me my view of spirituality and God and Scripture and all of these things. And I associate the word providential with these relationships. Now, the key is I had a part. I had a role to play. Okay, because I could have said to Maurice, listen, I really don't have any time to hang out with like this really aggressive Christian guy, or, you know, John or Mark, you know, thanks for offering the time, but, you know, no, I don't really want that. I had a part. It's not like God forced these relationships in my life. Instead, it's like God brought these individuals across my paths, and then I made the choice to lean into those relationships and invest time with these individuals that had opened themselves up to me. And so I look back and I'm just convinced they were providential relationships, because again, they shaped my faith, my understanding of Christianity and God, the world, truth, and how all of that intersects daily with my actual life and how I live that out. And here's the thing. I've never heard anyone say, in isolation, I discovered God and I grew my faith and I became everything that God intended me to be and had nothing to do with anybody else. You're just never going to hear that story. When people tell their story, it's like, you know, I was just kind of doing life. I met this girl, I met this guy, this man or this woman or this couple, they invited me to be part of a group, or they invited me to this thing called Bible study. I'm like, I don't know if I want to study that, but I don't know anybody else, so I'm going to go. And there's food, you know, or I was new to the neighborhood, new to the school. I didn't know anybody, and they just invited me. Or I went to college, and I found out one of my professors was a Christian. And I thought, well, he must not be very smart. And, you know, but then I started to get to know him, and I started to watch his life, and there was kind of something about it. And it's like, you know, I want some of what I see in your life, in my life. Or I went to work for this company, or work for with this manager, or this coworker. Or I saw this guy or this woman, they lived a life different than mine. But what I saw in them living their life, I thought, I want a life more like that. There was something captivating about them. And my faith took off, or my faith grew, or that person renewed or restored my faith that I thought that I had lost. And whenever you hear faith stories, you hear about relationships. And again, sometimes maybe it's just a conversation or a series of conversations. Some would say, you know, it wasn't anything really that they said to me, but I was just watching them. I was kind of watching them from a distance, and I watched how they lived and how they treated their family, and they prioritized their families and how they did marriage. I saw them walk away from deals. I watched them walk away from job offers because of the impact that it would have on their family. And I saw them live out this completely different set of values that weren't in my life. And so consequently, something happened to my faith. As well, I think about the opportunities that I've had to do and experience certain things in my life because of other people and being in relationship with them. Or I think the way my faith grew stronger, my faith and how it impacted my life. And for some of you, you think about how your faith has impacted your singleness or your marriage or raising kids or how you interact with people in the marketplace. And that God brings to mind men and women that their words or their presence, their proximity and relationship played a providential role in our life. So here's the principle and point of today's message and why this matters. And it's this, that God uses human relationship to impact our faith in Him. He uses human relationship to impact our faith in Him, to impact, increase our trust, our confidence, our faith in Him, which then impacts our obedience, which then impacts every other aspect and relationship in life. Now, the opposite is true as well. This goes both ways. Because I could also ask you, has there anybody in your life, when you look back, that relationship actually kind of undermined your faith? It actually caused you to have less faith in God rather than more. It caused you to struggle in your faith with God. Are you, you know, when you look back, maybe there was somebody you feel like for a season they kind of took the legs out from under your faith because of something they did or something they said. You found yourself further from God. Because, I mean, it's one of the things that's true for most of us is we trace back some of our biggest regrets, some of the dumbest decisions we made in life, and usually there's a face connected to that dumb decision, somebody we were in relationship with, somebody that had influence in our life, and we did it together. And that maybe for some of you, it's like you think back, and man, there's a phone call I wish I'd never returned, a text message I never would have returned, I should have swiped left, I was an invitation I should have said no to, it was a business opportunity, you know, I wish I'd walked away from it. Our greatest regrets generally trace back to relationships. In fact, for some of us, some of the habits that we have the hardest time breaking were introduced to us by somebody that we were connected to in relationship with. And so we just recognize there's this thing. And why does this happen? Because relationships are powerful things, either for good or for bad. In fact, one thing, again, we all have in common is there's two individuals that have had the impact on every single one, most impact, in every single one of us in this room. And it's those who have hurt us deeply and those who have loved us profoundly. That is something that we all share in common. So the takeaway is this, that relationships for good or for bad, they intersect with our faith. The wrong kinds of relationships have the potential to undermine our faith, and the right kinds have the potential to build and grow and strengthen our faith and our trust and confidence in God. Now the challenge is, what do you do with all that? Like, that's all great information, but, you know, if everybody you come in contact either erodes your faith or builds your faith or your connection to God, you know, if that's the case, what do you do? Because a providential relationship isn't something you can just go out and make happen. Like, I can't just go out and do providential relationship. It begins with this. It begins with asking the question, how do I position myself? How do I position myself for relationships for the sake of building my faith as a follower of Jesus? Because if you don't, you're missing out on one of the primary ways that God wants to impact your life and build your faith and strengthen it. Another important reason we need to engage this principle this morning is because every single day, you are surrounded by people who could care less about your faith. They could just care less about it. And so people have the ability, the potential to undermine your faith and confidence in God as well. Every single day, we live in a culture that's not pushing us towards greater faith in God, but to away from it. Every single day, we are exposed to circumstances and events, the news, social media, things that can begin to make us think that, well, maybe God isn't in control. Maybe I can't really trust God. Maybe I can't wake up every morning and believe that God and have confidence that God is with me. So our nature and our culture will cause us and can cause us to drift away from confidence and faith in God. So if that's the case, leveraging this point relationally, leveraging relationship to build greater confidence, greater relationship is crucial. We don't want to miss this opportunity. So I want to make the case that there are relationships that God may have you set up for right now that you're just not even aware of, that if you're not careful, you're going to miss the opportunity that God's wanting to bring about in this. If God uses people to strengthen and create greater life-giving, life-transforming faith, you don't want to miss that opportunity. So I'm going to show you just three verses. Two are in the Old Testament, one's in the New. The first one is found in the book of Proverbs. It's Proverbs 13:20. And some of you heard this before. And in this text, just so we're clear, it's not a command. In the original language, it's just a description. It's just an observation of reality. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. And I know this is true because I grew up in the Midwest and fireworks were a big thing in Oklahoma and I was around some fools and we suffered harm. So you don't have to be a Christian or a religious person to understand this concept that the nature of the relationship that is described in this verse. It goes back to what I said a minute ago. For a lot of us, our greatest regret or maybe our greatest addiction or that habit we have a hard time breaking, we're able to trace that back to an individual that helped introduce that into our life. Somebody influenced one of the dumbest decisions you ever made. And the promise of this verse is actually a spiritual one. There's a spiritual component to the people that you surround yourself with that has the potential to either grow or strengthen us or even harm or destroy us. Now, the second verse is from the New Testament. And this is the Apostle Paul. He's actually quoting a Greek poet. He says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good morals." You may like their music, but bad company corrupts, I'm an old guy. And see, this is a verse, if you have kids, like, I want to get this on a poster, I want to hang this on the wall, bad company corrupts good morals. What's he saying? What he's saying is that human relationships can have a negative impact on your spiritual life, which informs your moral life, which impacts your entire life and every relationship now and in the future. And even if you're not a religious person, you know that relationships can have a negative impact on your life. But God who loves you, God who has invited us to call him Father, he cares about our character and morality, and he cares about the consequences of our decisions that we make. And he says, just as the one who walks with the wise has the potential to grow wise and make wise decisions that bless themselves, that bless the people around them, in the same way, a companion of fools suffers harm. And in the same way, bad company corrupts good morals. The third passage is one of my favorites from the Old Testament because I love the picture that it paints, and it's multifaceted. It says this, "Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor, that working together, greater things are accomplished." And again, we know this. "And if either of them falls down, one can help the other up." And again, this is not a picture of somebody like tripping over a root or whatever and like falling on the ground, we laugh at them and they get back up. This is the idea in this context. You're somebody, they're out in the desert where you have scorching heat and no water, or in the evening, the temperatures get to the point where you can have hypothermia. That this is a point where you could fall down, and if you're alone, if you're by yourself, you could die. "So pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up, because they will suffer alone. The one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken." And again, I love this passage because it gives actually four aspects of being connected to other individuals. It talks about the level of productivity that you have. There's increase. The fact that you're able to help one another when eventually you stumble or fall. Or if you're attacked, if there's something coming at you, that together you can fight it, you can battle it together, and that there's a strength. The idea that a cord of three strands can't be easily broken. Now, some of you may have remembered several years ago, the Army adopted temporarily this slogan, an army of one. That lasted less than a year. And part of the reason why, there's a couple reasons. One of them is because it just totally went against all of the importance of doing something together, especially in life or death situations. If you were going to actually do something of value and significant, you had to be a part of the team. And the other thing that they discovered was were young adults at the time that they were trying to recruit, that this had this kind of hidden message. They didn't want to be more isolated. They actually wanted to feel more connected with a group of people that was connected to something bigger than themselves. The bottom line is, God has not designed us, and we know it, that God's not designed us to do life alone. He created us from the very beginning to do life in partnership with one another. In Genesis 2, it says it's not good for the man to be alone. And granted, in the context, it's dealing with marriage specifically, but throughout the scriptures, it is clear that we're not meant to do life alone and to do it connected. It's why one of our core values as a community is that of authentic community. That we're not designed to do life alone, that we do life together, and that we do everything that we can. And today is part of that, to lead everyone we can into life-giving, life-transforming community. And transparency is such a big part of that, because so many of us have experienced in other communities, maybe church communities in the past, where we dress up and we look good and we put on our smiles like we've got it all together, but that we would actually create an environment where, no, I'm a mess and you're a mess. We're in this mess together. So this is why we've invested time and resources working behind the scenes to get people out of rows and into circles, smaller ones, small and bigger ones, around coffee tables, dining rooms, and living rooms. Again, not because we think we can make providential relationships happen, because we can't. But what we can do is create the potential for providential relationship. I just want so much to connect you to a smaller group so that you've got a chance, the potential to have kind of these God meetings that God may have in store for you, one of those God relationships that you look back 6 months or a year from now and go, wow, you know, I didn't really want to do this and I had a busy schedule, but I stepped in and I met him or I met her and then I heard their story and I realized we've got kind of this connection with each other and their life impacted my life and I'm thinking about life in completely different terms. And that happens because you choose to be intentional about putting yourself in environments where God may provide these providential connections. And the part that you can play is being intentional about positioning yourself for these relationships to happen. Because I can promise you this, and this is very important. If you wait until you feel you need it, it will be too late. If you wait to get connected in the community, wait for that moment where you like really need to not be isolated, it will be too late. You need to get connected now. As the writer in Ecclesiastes says, two are better than one, and I reword his words just a little bit. Not if, when. When either of them falls down, the other can help them up. But pity anyone when they fall, and they will, and has no one to help them up. The one may be overpowered because the battle, something's going to eventually come. Two can defend themselves. And a cord of three strands will not be quickly broken. It's not about a church program. It's about getting into relationships. Relationships that God may potentially use in an extraordinary, unexpected way that you can't plan on. God uses human relationships to grow our faith in him and to make us stronger. And without them, without these connections and these relationships, we're more vulnerable. It's just that simple. It's why the wildebeest on the outskirts gets eaten. He's away from the group, right? Away from the herd. So, and I'd like to take a moment just, this is going to be maybe a little bit weird for those of you right here, but I want to take a moment just to address those that watch us online, because we actually have a lot of people that they just watch online. And we love the ability to connect with individuals and individuals like you online. And we know that we have room to grow in what we're offering online. But I just want to say that if there's no physical limitation to you joining us in community, I just want to ask you to take the step forward. That maybe between now and Christmas or between now and Thanksgiving and just for the next few weeks that you would come and join and be physically in the room here in community. Because physical isolation from community just simply makes us isolated, and it makes it so that we cannot grow in the way that God wants us to grow. It's just that simple. And so in a few weeks, a few weeks ago, I actually was visiting with a single mom. She'd been here many months ago, and then hadn't seen her, and then she was here just a few weeks ago, and we had a great conversation after church that both excited me for her and at the same time kind of broke my heart, because I know that she's not alone. Because she shared with me how she actually watches online every week, and there's actually been many mornings that she's gotten ready and gotten her daughter ready and gotten to the front door, put the door, her hand on the handle, and chicken out. And end up just staying home and deciding to just watch online. And she told me the reason why is because she struggles to believe that with the messiness of her past and the messiness of her present, that she could actually belong and be a part of this community. Because she comes in and she sees men and women that just appear to have it all together. And before me, I mean, individuals, I mean, your hair is combed, you smell nice, you look good and all that. But and I told her, I said, these folks, they look all neat and tidy, but they're a mess. Like, they're a mess. Like, I'm the biggest mess of all of them. Like, we're a mess together. And so it doesn't matter. And what I told her, what I'd tell anyone, is it doesn't matter what your past or your present is. What we care about is your future. It's why we say things like that this is a community where you can belong before you believe, because we try to reflect Jesus, who just kept going around telling people, come follow me, come follow me, follow me, and you will change. And that is what we were trying to do. And that's why I often say things like that. And you don't have to have it all together. You don't have to have it all figured out to come and find belonging in this community. In fact, some of the most messed up people that are honest about it, those are my favorite people, because they're just honest about, I do not have it all together. And they can be open and honest and authentic about their doubts, their struggles with faith, their struggle with relationship, their struggles with money, just the struggles in life. So I would say for those of you that just watch us, that you would step past the screen and join us next week. Now, for those of you that are physically here and listening, being connected is vital. And I want to give you an aspect that maybe you don't think about. We're still a fairly small community. If everybody was in the room at the same, you know, in the building at the same time, we'd be about 100, 120. But the economy's good and people are traveling. So, but I had somebody say something to me this last week, that a guy that I actually consider we're becoming friends, and it both stung a little bit because I knew the truth was there, and at the same time, it just emphasized in my mind how passionate I am about people being connected. Because in the context of the conversation, somehow the conversation would come up about texting me, and that sometimes you will get a reply at the most random of times. It might be 2 minutes later. It might be 5 days later. You just don't know. It's just like tutti frutti. You just guess when it's going to come. But here's the thing that kind of came out of that. One, that there are some things that I need to do better at as far as some of my replies. But on the other hand, is what, sometimes what you don't know is in a given day, I will have had 16 to 18 to 20 phone calls. I will have 25 to 30 various messages going back and forth with different individuals. I'm not saying that's smart. I'm just saying that's just the reality of the guy with ADHD. And part of that is this passion that I know what it's like to feel on the outside. I know what it feels like to be alone. I know what it feels like that you don't have somebody that you can talk to and go to. And the problem is, my problem is sometimes I continue to open myself up that to as many people. I mean, my cell phone number is out to so many people that have access to me. But one of the things is that it helps me realize is I'm just so utterly limited. But the struggle for me is this tension of not wanting anyone to do life alone, or to face a struggle alone, or to even have something, they've got something really great news, and I need to share it with somebody. And again, that's why it's so important, because I feel the weight of your lives. But I know that I cannot effectively give you the individual care and love and attention that you need. That you need because of the way God created you. And so that's why getting connected is going to be so crucial for you and for my sanity. And for some of you, you may need to be intentional about just getting a place where God can connect you to people outside the church. Some of you need to go make some really good pagan friends. You know, go build relationships with individuals that don't think like you, they don't believe like you, but these are the people that God has put you in their life potentially for a providential relationship. You know, even begin forming a small, where you have coffee together, you go out, have a beer together after work, and you talk about like God or the Bible or different spiritual things. You get a book, you start going through it together. And for some of you, like, you know you should do these things, but you've got your life so busy, it's like, I don't have time for this, I'm not going to do it. And for some of you, you just need to get some things off your plate. and make some room for a relationship. Because you see, God may want to bring somebody into your life because he has something that he wants to do in your life that you can't do without this contribution. Or it could be that God's got somebody in your life that he wants to do something in desperately through you. But until you make the time for that, it can't happen. It just gets crowded out. For some of you, just about every time you pray, you're praying for somebody in your life, a coworker, a family member, a friend, somebody. You look at their life and you're concerned for them. It brings you anxious thoughts. You're stressed for them. You look at them, they just seem so stuck or they seem so far from God. And you're praying for them. God, will you bring somebody into their life? God's like, look in the mirror. You're the one. But many of you, you're in this room, you've got people that you're praying about. And for some of you, it's just time for you to break through into their life. Maybe in a way that kind of creates a potentially awkward situation. Some of you, you're going to be the Maurice in somebody's life. Like, hey, we're going to go talk about God. And like, all right. You know, it's just, or you just, somehow you, these people that you're burdened, that you begin to get into their lives. And let me tell you about providential relationships. Providential relationships oftentimes will start around conversations that are none of my business. I think about some of the people that have had the impact on me. They kind of just kind of threw the convention away where we try to avoid conflict and everything and say, you know what, I've seen something in your life, I'd like to talk about it. So I look back and I just think of the changes that had happened in my life because people were willing to kind of go around social convention and potentially risk an awkward moment because they felt like they could speak into my life. So my challenge for you is that for some of you, that now it's time. It's time for you to be more intentional. It's time to start putting yourself out there, to take some risk, to get in some sort of structured environment where God could potentially create these providential connections and relationships for others of you. It's time to start taking a few things off of your plates, off of your schedules, and start making yourself more available to other people. And I know that maybe you put it off because you just don't think you're smart enough or you're just afraid, well, what if they ask this or what if they do that? And it's time to just let go of all that, but time to get involved in a structured something. Maybe it's time to start a group at your school or in your workplace, over the lunch hour, your job. Maybe it's getting three or four guys or women together for coffee or lunch or in an evening or something like that. There's no one size fits all, okay? But it's all about intentionally putting yourself in circumstances that can build relationship. As another pastor that I respect and care about has said, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. And this morning, the question is, how do you leverage this in your life? So this morning, we're going to have, most of you are aware of this, some of you may not, but we have a breakfast theme, old school potluck, because those are awesome. It doesn't matter if you brought anything to contribute today or not, or if this is the first time that you heard that this was happening. Everybody's invited to stay and just enjoy some food and to connect as well. Part of the meal. Mealtime is going to be about hearing some connecting opportunities so that if you're not connected, you'll at least have an awareness of what are some ways I could step into a smaller circle, or if one of those don't work, you know, at least there's an opportunity to be shown the way of how to move towards this. Or if after hearing this morning, you'd really love some help or some coaching as far as, you know what, I've got like these coworkers or these clients or these fellow students I'd like to maybe start something with, you know, we would love to help having some conversation around that as well. Again, there's no one size fits all, but the point is that ultimately that you are connected and that you're connected in authentic community with people that can begin to get to know you, get to know your story and care for you and do life with you, okay? So I'm going to pray, and then after I pray, I got a couple more things before I send you out. God, I just thank you for this morning, and one of the things that I want to pray for all of us is, for some of us, God, there are some things in our life, and it's not that they're bad things, but we need to begin cutting loose some things in our life because it's just robbing us from time, from connecting. As my friend in Africa said years ago, in America we have watches, but in Africa they have time. And God, it's just time for us to give more time. And God, I also want to pray for those individuals that one of the reluctance of getting connected is because they've been hurt in the past. They opened themselves up or they entrusted secrets or just their lives or their heart to others only to have that betrayed. And so, Father, I pray for you to bring healing in that complexity, and at the same time, give this renewed openness to try again and to allow others in. And Father, I pray for all of us that you would orchestrate who we end up connecting with, whether it's over the coming weeks and months, and that, Father, that you would make those connections so that you could accomplish what it is that you want to accomplish in and through us. And it's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen.